you know, when things break down, you know, he has the ability to run and get first down. Those are things that are tough. And, you know, when he does get hit or does get sacked, you know, he's able to come back.
Third and goal from the 8. Minshew drops the throw. Minshew looks. Scrambles to his right. Look, pump fake. Still look. Pump fake. Fires toward the end zone. Caught by DJ Chark. Touchdown.
That was crazy because I was yelling, throw the ball, because I didn't know what was happening. And I saw that. And I'm just like, that's some Minshew. That's crazy.
Gardner drops the throw. Look, fires to the back of the end zone. Keelan Cole. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Cole in the back of the end zone.
It's been crazy. You know, I knew at some point I'd probably get an opportunity to play. I didn't think it was going to be the first quarter of the first game, you know, like how it went. But, you know, I've been trying to do my job. We got a lot of guys been working hard, so I'm just trying to do the best I can for them.
1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Come on!
All right, good morning. Hello, E.T. as well. Fired up. How's your mom doing, by the way?
Hey, man, she's good. Still calling me about 30 times a day for nothing, but she's good.
That's good, man. Hey, look, we all wish our mom was around to call us 30 times a day. If she's gone, if she's here, you love to hear from your mom, I hope. And your mom's a sweetheart, man.
Sometimes I get aggravated, though. I try to catch myself because, yeah, everybody don't have that opportunity.
Like the 27th call of the day.
But dang,
it's 11:15 in the morning.
Mom, she might call me while I'm on air here. Talk to her. Hey, baby.
She wants to check in with her baby.
Baby, what are you doing, baby? You know what I'm doing. I'm going to holler at you.
I'll holler at you later, Mom. Thanks. Tony Smith, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Doing
well.
How's
your mom doing?
She's Yeah.
Good. Still making lemon squares?
Every now and then.
Every now and then, yeah. It's like a thing. Tony's mom made me lemon squares for my birthday like long time ago.
Yeah.
They were delicious.
Lemon squares, huh?
Yeah. It's just, you know.
A little snacky snack.
Yeah. I don't need them right now, man. I'm trying, to fight the good fight.
You're grinding right now.
I'm still trying to fight the good fight. Even through a bad ankle, I got in 6 miles yesterday. Couldn't walk. I'm going every other day right now because, you know. Try not to tear the Achilles. That would be bad in the present state of. I don't know if there's a hospital room for me, Tony, if I go that route.
Right? Yeah, that would be no good.
I don't want. This is not the environment I want to be tearing an Achilles in. You know? I don't think I'm in danger of that. It's just it's a sore. But like the one was sore last summer and it went away and it's fine now. So I'm assuming I'm just dealing with some tendonitis or something, man. But it is driving me crazy.
Yeah, I can imagine. My roommate came home. He brought food to his parents yesterday and came home with brownies and a face mask for me that
nice.
He had been wondering what he needed to do or could do with his Jalen Ramsey jersey, and his stepmother turned it into a face mask.
Cut it up, sewed it.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I don't know how many of them she's going to be able to make with that one jersey, but that's how that Jalen Ramsey jersey is being used now.
Huh. I don't know how I feel about that, quite honestly. I don't know if that's going to filter out all the bad and just let the good in. It seems like maybe the opposite for the Jalen Ramsey face mask. But I'm sure it's better than nothing,
sure,
as they advise right now. Did not get on the golf course this weekend. That was more of a rain situation than a social distancing situation for me. Although, you know, was planning on going the full social distancing route. So ended up in the compound with the family all weekend, which was nice. By the way, happy 30th anniversary to my wife. This is the 30th anniversary of our first kiss back in 1990. That's how romantic we are. Got married like 8.5 years later, something like that, you know. Got right on pace to move things along, I did, let me tell you what. But, you know, things seem to have worked out. After all the time, we slow played it for a while there. So happy anniversary to my beautiful Heather. That's the anniversary we celebrate most anyway.
That's my dog, Heather. Happy anniversary, Heather. That's
there you
my
go.
Dog.
Easy. That's my dog. All right. I mean that in a good way.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, girl.
It's got a W in there, that dog.
That dog. That's right. As long as you got a W in there, it's fine.
It's got a W or the double G. It's got to be one or the other.
Oh, yeah. I don't think you can go both, can you? Probably not.
Both seems like a little bit
overkill. That's a little overkill right there. I did watch this weekend, now that we had some time on our hands, I watched more Money Heist. I didn't get it. I don't know why I'm like having a hard time starting Ozark. My wife didn't watch the first two seasons, and while she has been...
Is it one of those where like you feel like I'm going to start watching, and then she's going to be
she
like,
she might.
Hey.
That's what... No, you see, but I think what happened was, at the beginning, like I watched first season, I said, hey, this is really good.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to watch it with me? And I'll watch it again. And I think she like watched an episode and was like, eh. And so I think she's now like, hey, no, you can start season three. It's fine. I don't mind. And I just don't want to put her in a position where she's like, I don't know what's going on right. or whatever. So I don't know. I'm just kind of dilly-dallying on the whole Ozark thing. But I did watch finally, because we had seen half of it before, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah?
And I know you told me the ending, the last half hour or so was crazy.
Yeah.
And it was. And I'm so glad they did it the way they did it. It turned out to be really good.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm like, if you know what the movie's about at all, the main character that is played by Leonardo DiCaprio lives next to Roman Polanski and Sharon Tate.
Yes.
In the late 60s. If you know anything about history, you know what happened to Sharon Tate in the late 60s.
Yes.
Right, with the whole Manson family going crazy on them. And let's just say they took some liberties with the ending. I was happy that they did.
Yeah, the last half hour was a Quentin Tarantino fever dream.
Yeah, this is how we all would have preferred it had happened.
It's like him blowing away Hitler at the end of Inglourious Basterds. Like,
yes.
It's like, this is what we all wanted to see happen to this guy. And he showed us what we would all like to have seen happen.
Spoiler alert on Inglourious Basterds out there, which is a very good movie as well, by the way. I liked it. So, it's a weekend, once again, without sports, but we march towards the NFL draft.
Yep.
The president has a conference call with the various sports commissioners and says, I don't know if it's I expect or hope or whatever that the – look, we all hope the NFL season starts on time. We hope all sports can get back to it, though.
Yep.
That's the thing. I don't see the point really in dwelling on the start date of the season right now because none of us really know what it's going to be. You know, reports are out there today in the Football Morning in America column by Peter King that the league is probably coming up with 12-game, 14-game, and 16-game schedule contingencies depending on when the season could start. There is a contingency to start it like in the middle of October with, I think, a 12-game schedule, no bye weeks. And it would end on January 3rd. So the season would end about the same time.
Yeah.
Training camp wouldn't start till the beginning of September. And don't know if fans will be allowed to play or not. I heard the guys talk about it on the drill this morning with Tony Boselli. What do you think about games overseas? I think at this point, if you're betting, don't you have to bet no for 2020? Right? I mean, I hope they can everything. Well, I hope that they find a vaccine in the next day, right? And,
sure.
And then we have this miracle recovery and everything's fantastic, but I think if you're guessing right now, you'd have to guess.
Probably not.
Probably not going to play those games, right? And what's going to happen with the Lot J project and all these other things, you know, and all these things that are, quote, essential to the Jaguars' long-term health in the city of Jacksonville, you know? Just don't know. Not going to if they don't play them over there, they won't be pulling that extra revenue this year. And, look, every NFL team's going to be in a weird position.
Sure, they're talking about, you know, they might not be able to play in the stadium in California. So
right.
They're trying to figure that out. The Raiders stadium may not be ready.
Look, baseball's talking about playing in empty spring training parks, you know, potentially. And, this is just going to be a year.
Well, I mean, if they're talking about
different than
fans
any other.
Being able to get back into a stadium in August, then baseball and the NBA and the NHL, they have to have another plan. And
right, unless
they'd have
they're
to be able
waiting
to test
that
their
long,
guys
which I
that day.
It.
Right. They'd have to be able to figure out a way to get a legit 15-minute test that's going to be available to them if they're going to do that even, which we're not there yet. So it'll still be a while before those leagues can even put any kind of plan in place. But the hope, at least it sounds like, is that, you know, fans will be allowed to go back and watch football come the fall. And hopefully that is the path that we're on with this whole thing. But we don't know right now. And, yeah, the NFL ought to be putting contingencies in place, and I'm with you. I'd be surprised if they're playing overseas at this point.
Well, at this point, the focus is on what's coming up in the short term. 2.5 weeks from now, we've got the NFL draft, and the Jags have all that ammo. They've got 12 picks and a recent mock draft. When hasn't there been a recent mock draft? By the moment, they're coming out right now. And like, I get it. You know, I will say this. Now that the weekend's passed, this is way far down on the list of complaints, but
okay.
Far be it for me not to bring up a minor annoyance, right, on the program. I'm just glad we're past this weekend so the sports sites can stop treating WrestleMania as if it's a sport. I mean, please, seriously. Like, I get it. You need something to cover. But the lines are completely blurred now. If the outcome is predetermined, it is not a sport. I think that's the simplest bottom line definition that you can go
to. It's entertainment.
To.
It's like a movie review.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Right. I would find that on a movie review site, perhaps, or
sure.
something like that. But anyway, that's me. There's nothing else, I guess, live to cover, so I don't have to read it if I don't
could,
like it.
But break down NASCAR racing virtually.
Bubba Wallace got ticked this weekend. Ooh, he threw those sticks down and wasn't having it. Clint Boyer put him in the wall.
What happened?
Ooh, he got thrown in the wall by Clint Boyer on the, you know, they're racing on the simulator, right?
Up in Bristol this weekend. Yeah.
And apparently he quit. He was like not happy with getting shoved into the wall. It's a video. Man, if I were out there, I'd be like, bam, bam, bam. Not, I mean,
it's a video game. What else are you going to do?
Right? I mean,
he threw the sticks down?
So he
I'd
just
be pitting everybody.
As they describe it, rage quit, right? And in doing so, one of his sponsors dropped him and was like, we want competitors, not quitters.
Oh, my goodness.
It was crazy. I forget who it was, but it was like a sponsor who's tied into the tour and his racing team. And I guess they were carrying over some of their sponsorships on these. Virtual outings of theirs, but yeah, Bubba Wallace had enough and threw it down. So anyway, one of the many mock drafts that I saw this weekend had the Jaguars selecting Jerry Jeudy, wide receiver out of Alabama, with the 9th overall pick. Now, like, it's all fodder right now. People are trying to get clicks, and so I thought, though, what if they did, right? I mean, Jerry Jeudy or CeeDee Lamb, whoever your favorite guy is. Some may prefer Henry Ruggs, but mm-hmm. not going to be a surprise if all of them are off the board in that 11 to 15 range, right? If you really follow the process, beginning with the Jets to Denver in that little range, a lot of teams that are wide receiver needy. So 9th is not a big leap, right? In fact, there have been some trade scenarios where teams move up to number 9 from that range to get the wide receiver of their choice because sure. they feel like one stands out above the other. So anyway, I just thought about that. Well, that would be a sign in part that they'd be going all in on Gardner Minshew, at least until the 20th pick comes along, they take Jordan Love. I'm kidding. But you know what I mean? Like, if they go Jeudy, now people say, well, you can go all in by going offensive line. Certainly you can. But today we're asking specifically about the scenario where the Jaguars fall in love and grade highly one of these wide receivers who are in that kind of range for most draft analysts. There are several draft analysts that have Jeudy inside the top 10 easily in the rankings overall. So how would you feel if the Jags went in all in on Gardner Minshew and express that by selecting a wide receiver to get him a number one alpha target with the 9th overall pick in the draft? That's our question of the day here on Jaguars Today. You can weigh in on that or anything else Jaguar or NFL related if you like. It's 641-1010. Big hot story out you saw over the weekend as well, Tony. Bonus episode of Tiger King
coming this
week. Oh, it's coming
this week, yeah.
My man E is now through episode 5, and he's dying.
Man, I called Mike last night to talk to him about it, man. This man is something else.
Unbelievable. Mr. Exotic himself, Joe Exotic. bonus, you know, kind of, yeah. Where are they now? I don't know what it's going to be.
It was only like a year and a half ago.
I know, yeah. But, you know, we want to know what happened to Jeff.
Oh, I don't mind
is
getting
Jeff
another.
Still on the run?
Yeah, I don't mind getting another episode.
Let's
sure.
get another season out of this thing if we possibly can. It would be fantastic. So hit us up today, 641-1010 on the phone lines or the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures on Twitter at MD underscore 1010XL at 1010XL Fat Tony and at IME to the T.
Come on.
I got you a few this weekend, E.
Hey, they was coming.
I sent out a shame you tweet, not you, but shame you to the shame on you to the people that follow me that don't follow you on Twitter because I noticed what your number was, and we got you a few this weekend.
636 now.
Yeah, well, that's up about 40 from where you were.
Yeah, it's coming up.
When we did that, so you're, as I said, it's a low bar, but you are much more entertaining than myself. And I think Tony as well. You're more entertaining than both of us on social media. So if you're only following one of us, you're probably not following the right one, is my guess, based on the numbers. All right, Jaguars Today off and rolling. Happy Monday to you. You're listening to 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Everything you need to know about the Jags. Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Man, Phineas and Ferb is trending right now, Tone,
oh,
which
really?
Is one of the most intelligent kid shows that I've ever watched. Mm-hmm. My son used to watch that all the time. Still love that thing, man. Phineas and Ferb and Little Einsteins. Two little brainiac shows back in the day. Don't know what in particular it's trending for any particular reason, but good for Phineas and Ferb. Fun show. If you've had kids in the last 2 decades, you probably watched it.
Sure.
Tell us, there's a lot of news coming out of the golf world right now about postponements, cancellations, perhaps reopening of the season. What are we knowing or what are we hearing?
Nothing official, but Golf Digest, who reported some of this stuff last week, reporting it again this morning that the British Open is canceled. That's formally expected to be announced today. Other announcements that are being expected in the golf world today, that the tour plans to restart in mid-June with no fans at Memorial. That's usually a tournament that happens in May, I believe, but it would be pushed back to June.
That's Jack Nicklaus's tournament that he hosts.
PGA Championship, they have on the calendar for August 6th. Ryder Cup, still scheduled to go on for September 25th. That one seems really hard with everyone getting around, but September 25th, U.S. Open scheduled for September 17th, and the Masters to happen in November.
Boy, September 17th is U.S. Open, September 25th Ryder Cup?
Yes.
Jeez, and the Masters would be in November?
November.
What's the weather like in Augusta in November?
I don't know. I mean, around here, I mean, be all right.
Yeah.
You just wouldn't get, you won't get azaleas, would be my guess.
Maybe not.
It won't be the same look for Augusta.
So,
we know how much they care about it.
The only thing it stinks about it is, like, that's one of the Sunday. And look, obviously, way more concerned. If they could bring back the golf season in mid-June, great. That'd be fantastic. It'd be a great step in the right direction for all of us, right?
Absolutely.
And so I'm not complaining about it. I'm just making the observation that, man, you just love that weekend of the Masters, particularly Sunday, to be locked in on that and nothing else. And be interesting to see the Masters versus the NFL.
Yep.
Head-to-head, you know, and there's some speculation out there that it's going to be easier for the NFL to do its thing than it is for high school football, college football. You have one governing body in the NFL, right? It's all like one top-down organization, 32 teams, but
they're all using the same resources.
Everything.
Playing the same rules.
Right. The same commissioner, right? And whereas in even college football, you've got all the different conference commissioners. You've got some conferences that are more powerful than others, and all these things, and, you know, in so many different kinds of cities as well. In the NFL, maybe you could narrow it down. Maybe you could play some neutral field games. There's a feeling that it's going to be easier to play NFL football than it is to play college or high school football in the fall. We don't know, but then the speculation becomes, if there is no college and high school football, do the NFL get a one-year exemption to fill the calendar and play Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday? Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm the league, right, I want as many opportunities to be on TV and garner ratings as I possibly can. And the NFL will get – could you imagine the ratings if that's the only football in town?
it'd be madness. I mean, they're already astronomical.
Right, and if you couldn't go to the games.
Yeah.
Like, if they were just playing in empty stadiums, all those people that are typically packing those stadiums would all be glued to their televisions as well.
And we'll see, again, those announcements expected to come later today from the golf world. We'll see how those work out. I was telling you on the break, too, that over in Korea, their professional baseball league is actually planning on getting started now, basically. They have about a week of what would be the equivalent of spring training. They said they got 6 games to warm up for the season, but that they're planning on being ready to go April 21st for their regular season.
Good luck, man.
And that if anyone gets sick, according to the reports, if anyone gets sick, and that could be staff, players, anybody, they will shut it down for 2 weeks and then reassess what they're going to do.
Kind of have a feeling that
good luck to them, and hopefully it works.
Right, because we need somebody to go first.
But they're out on
these kind of things.
They're out practicing now, so they're back on the field over there in Korea at least, which hopefully we can get there soon.
Yeah. All right, 6-4-1-10-10. Kent is on the north side, wants to weigh in on our topic du jour, wide receiver at 9, among other things. Kent, good morning. How are you?
How you doing?
Good.
Great. Yeah, I was thinking about, like, the 9th pick, they can pick KJ Hamler, Penn State receiver, and maybe the 20th pick, they'll go with Cam Akers, running back.
Who did you want with the 9th pick, the receiver out of Penn State?
Yeah, KJ Hamler.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to have to take him with the 9th pick. I've not seen any projection that suggests he's would go anywhere in the first round. But if you want him, that's good news. You can get him with the 42nd pick. I don't think you don't have to get Cam Akers that high either, Tone. I have seen mock drafts where DeAndre Swift or Jonathan Taylor both go in the first round, two running backs. I mean, look, I don't think it's crazy to think Cam Akers is off the board in the second round. It depends on team need. Ideally, if you're going to take Cam Akers for the Jags, you'd get him with your third-round pick. Yep. That would be ideal. You can't be sure you're going to get him at that point in time. I don't mind the idea of Cam Akers here. I do wonder, and we brought this up, if you're the Jaguars, is it better to wait a year to draft your next running back and get the full value of that rookie deal? Like that, when you draft a running back, let's say in the high third round, you're suggesting that that guy probably can start for you, right?
Sure.
And so if it's Cam Akers, let's say Leonard Fournette retired, right? And you draft the Cam Akers in the third round, you could go to bat with Cam Akers right out of the gates. But if he's sitting or sharing time behind Leonard Fournette for a year, are you getting the best value out of him? Like, is it best in today's climate to get a running back in and, quote-unquote, run the wheels off of him, right, and just give him all that work immediately and get the full value you can out of his rookie deal? So the idea of taking a running back might be more appealing in 2021, you know. It sounds like Kent's on board with taking some offensive skill players, maybe not the same ones that the Jags would take at that spot. Mm-hmm. The one mock that we looked at that brought this up, this was done by, let me see who did this at CBS. They have it like, honestly, it seems like they have 20 guys on staff doing mock drafts at CBSSports.com. Jeff Kerr did this one.
Okay.
So, you know, fine. Burrow, Chase Young, Jeff Okuda, Jedrick Wills, it's like pick your offensive lineman for the Giants, right? Mm-hmm. Who knows who the Giants are going to love? Tua, Herbert, go to Miami and the Chargers. None of this is crazy right now. Isaiah Simmons to the Panthers. Mekhi Becton to the Cardinals. So the Jags could, in this one, take Derrick Brown if they wanted to, or Kinlaw if they preferred Kinlaw over Derrick Brown as the top two defensive tackles on the board. Me, I would go defensive tackle, but sure. In this one, they're mixing it up, and they go Jerry Jeudy with the Jags. Says the Jags need interior defensive line and cornerback help more than a wide receiver, but they make the draft go sideways with the selection of Jeudy. Jacksonville has solid wideouts outside of DJ Chark, but still wants to make Gardner Minshew a thing. Jeudy gives Minshew the best chance to succeed as the starter. There's something to that. Now, it is a deep – a lot of people who are pushing back against this, and I understand it. Like, I would go D-line as well. I just think those guys are more scarce, right? And that's – it's a deep wide receiver draft. Now, deep wide receiver draft, Tony, doesn't mean you're going to get the same level of talent in a Jerry Jeudy or a CeeDee Lamb with the 20th pick or beyond. So even in a deep draft, that just means there are going to be more guys you're interested in around 3, 4, whatever. That, though, you have to consider when you're sitting there and you say, well, if we take him here and we want a defensive tackle, what are our options going to be? And then what if we want an offensive lineman and a cornerback? I mean, does wide receiver become too much of a luxury pick?
Right.
I don't know the answer to that. Because as we pointed out many times now, beyond this year, the only wide receivers under contract for the Jaguars are DJ Chark, who will have one more year left on his deal, and Marquise Lee. And who even knows if Marquise Lee will be on the team come September? You know, so it's kind of one of those hidden needs for the football team, I think.
Sure, like it's... I don't know that anything they did at 9 would floor me. You know, like, I think any position...
Jordan Love?
No. Like, I would see the logic in it, right? Like, I would be like, okay, they think this guy is a 10-year franchise guy. I would understand it if it was wide receiver, offensive line, any of that stuff. Like, nothing that they would do at 9, as far as a position at least, on its face, would be like, what the heck are they doing?
What about K.J. Hamler out of Penn State? Would that floor you?
Well, yeah, but we're talking about wide receiver, like in general at 9, wouldn't, right?
Right.
You know,
no,
like
I'm
like
just,
Jerry
I'm
Jeudy or
here.
CeeDee, I know you are, but Jerry Jeudy or CeeDee Lamb, like one of those guys, if that's the name at 9, I'd be like, okay, they think this guy's
right,
Julio.
Right. It's like there are routes you could take
right.
in this draft.
And they don't have enough special players on this team that if they think this guy is a special player, whether they got to be right. Which has been the issue forever for this franchise is they haven't been right enough, especially when they've been picking in the top 10, and that's why we get to play this game every year here in Jacksonville, because they don't get it right often enough. But look, it's their job to, and they're gonna follow their gut when everything is said and done on this kind of thing. So I could understand the path to whatever position they might be looking to address at 9 in this draft. I would prefer from the outset, big guy. They haven't been able to stop the run. That's where I've been focused the entire time. That's what I would do if I had Derrick Brown or Javon Kinlaw.
You got a year of Al Woods coming
right.
up.
available to me. Like that's where my focus would still be if it was me making the decision, but they're working with a lot more information than I am.
So. In that draft, just for funsies, looking down, they took A.J. Epineza, the Iowa pass rusher, with the 20th pick. So it'd be a Judy. So you'd still get defensive line, although not the position you thought necessarily. And it says Jacksonville draft's best available here. Jacks could use an edge rusher, and Yannick Ngakoue isn't playing for them anymore. You don't know that. I mean, you don't really know that. I mean, that's too declarative a statement for me. Jordan Love is tempting because he's still on the board in this one, says Kerr, but the Jaguars are still hoping for a first-round pick for Ngakoue at this stage, plus they're convinced Minshew is going to work at least this year. So there you have it. We told you last week. I mean, look, opinions vary. The only opinions that are going to matter are the Jaguars' brain trust thinks about a guy like Jordan Love. But Greg Cosell of NFL Films seemed to indicate he liked him better than Tua last week. Mm-hmm. And there are others out there that wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole in the first round at all. I guess we'll find out what the NFL really thinks about him here in 2.5 weeks. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, NET here with you, 641-1010 if you want to get in. CBS also did an interesting piece this weekend. Might have come out Friday afternoon after we were off on the 10 most likely first-round trade scenarios and what it could cost to acquire Tua Tagovailoa. 4 of the 10 involved the Jaguars trading around. So I'll go through those with you, and you let me know, you know, on a scale of crazy to genius, like where these fall and how attractive they would be to you, Tony Smith, general manager in waiting for the Jacksonville Jaguars. All right, you're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
My son put out his rankings this weekend, Tony, of his top 10 favorite movies of all time, many of which we have watched on Family Movie Night. We've introduced him to in recent days. Good Morning Vietnam, currently in the top spot.
Okay.
As he put it after we first watched it, he goes, "Well, that was a work of art." Okay. And he's so funny. That. And then we watched Onward this weekend, the Pixar movie.
Yeah.
It was pretty good, man. I really
enjoyed it, yeah.
It was pretty good. And so when we're done, we always ask him, give him a second to think, and, okay, what do you give it? Like on a scale of 1 to 10, he goes, "Well, it's clearly the greatest Pixar movie ever made." And I'm like, "Oh, so you've got that kind of wealth of knowledge, do you?
Sure.
You've seen all the Pixar movies, have you? You know?" But so he put it in his top 10. What else was in there? Let's see. We had Good Morning Vietnam. We had Good Will Hunting.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Robin Williams influence there. A lot of Christopher Nolan influence. He had Inception, Interstellar, and The Dark Knight all in there. Forrest Gump made it. Dead Poets Society made it. Another Robin Williams. He did put Onward in his top 10.
Okay.
And the other one, animated one was Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh.
Only two. So no Marvel Cinematic Universe movies made the cut for him. That's fine.
Yeah.
Traitor. but that pretty much covered it. I might have left one or two out somewhere along the way.
Yeah. I've seen all the Pixar except Cars 3. That's the only one I haven't seen.
I don't know if I've seen Cars 3 either, to be honest with you. I've seen Cars, though, a billion times.
I know you have.
It's the best. Truly, to this day, probably the movie I've seen more than any other, because whatever movie you watch with your kid, when the one they fall in love with, that they're always like, "Let's watch Cars." Oh, you mean Cars? Like, that's what we call it. Because you can just watch Cars. Like, do you want to watch auto racing?
Cars is the movie.
Like, the emphasis.
Cars. Oh, you mean Cars? Yes, Cars. So that's what we call it, Cars. But, yeah, probably seen that 50 times. And that's a lot for me. I know for you, you're like, 50 times, amateur. Yeah, Tony's probably, what's the most you saw? You saw Mad Max, like, what, 15 times in the theater?
I probably saw Fury Road about 15 times in the theater. I saw it 3 times the first week, and I went every week. It was still there. The most I've seen a movie in a theater was Fellowship of the Ring, the first Lord of the Rings movie. I was working at the theater at the time, and I saw it 19 times.
Mm.
It was at the theater I was working at the whole year, and I actually went and saw it the night, like the afternoon before the night that I went and saw The Two Towers that came out, the midnight show, like 19 times.
I may have seen Goodfellas 19 times over the years, E, you know.
Yeah, that doesn't include home video viewings.
And that right for you, and that doesn't include partial viewings.
Oh no,
either. You know,
I can't think of any movie that I've seen 19 times.
It's a lot of times. I definitely have seen Cars.
Yeah,
that
I don't
many
know
times.
How many, like Die Hard, Jaws, Big Trouble in Little China, and Tremors.
That's a good movie.
Yeah, it's. I don't know how many times I've seen those. Those were the Friday night rotation in the house for a long time for me.
We were going to watch Glengarry Glen Ross this weekend, which is fantastic.
It is.
Right? You know, I've been the age appropriateness on the language sometimes. My kid can handle it. Okay,
sure.
He doesn't. I've never heard my son curse once in his life. Mm-hmm. He'll be 16 years old in June. I'm serious about
sure.
that. Never. So he may be cursing up a storm behind the scenes. I don't know. But he's kept it out
well,
of my face.
You've seen how much I curse, and I saw Die Hard when I was 8. Like, the rated R version.
It didn't ruin
my
you?
My mom was like, they use that language, you don't. I was like, okay. I was like, all right.
So we're going to watch that, but that's like an HBO exclusive. It's like you can't get it on demand. You have to subscribe to it. So I'm like, well, that sucks. So David Mamet, is it Mamet or Mamet? However you
Mamet.
Say it, right?
Yeah.
He does all, what does he do? A lot of Broadway plays that they get converted into.
Playwright, yep.
I didn't realize he did The Spanish Prisoner, which has been one of, remember we did that show a few years back, our top five kind of unsung, under the radar movies.
Hidden Gems, yeah.
So my wife and I watched that. That was on demand. If you're looking for a good movie on demand, it's, you know, just kind of like a long con movie. I like those con artist movies.
Yeah.
Anyway, just, you know, got a little extra time to do these things right now. I think I would imagine a lot of people are doing that, anticipating the next episode of Tiger King to drop.
Sure.
It is coming, folks.
And I can honestly say I've never turned off Rocky IV. It's every time that I flip across Rocky IV, I'm there until he wins the
watch
Cold War.
The first two are the best.
Oh, they're the best. I'm not saying Rocky IV is stupid. And dumb. It's bad.
But it hooks you.
It gets me every time. I know. This is montage 1 of 8. I know when they're coming. It's I've never turned Rocky IV off.
Stoff sent me a meme from across the pond this weekend. He DM'd me this meme because Queen Elizabeth addressed Great Britain for only like the fourth time major address, we're all in this together and you'll avoid germs and all that good stuff, right? So he sent me this meme, so I'll do it in Queen Elizabeth's voice. It says, "It's my duty to remind everyone that during this uncertain time, there is one thing of which we can be sure. It was Carol effin' Baskin." So, I don't need to explain that at this point, do I? Of course it was Carol effing Baskin. Come on.
Oh, Carol. I remember Carol.
Poor Carol.
Yeah, I saw someone put out the meme this week that had Baskin-Robbins was dropping the Baskin.
Ah, that's good.
It was like, we can't have that.
Too toxic
that
right
lion
now.
Murderer.
Too toxic, right? Allegedly.
Yeah.
We do the air quotes on that one, right? Like everyone used to do with OJ, right? OJ allegedly killed his former wife and Ron Goldman there. All right, Tony, I told you. As we switch from that to midstream to a little draft talk here, piece at CBS Sports ranked what they felt were the 10 most likely draft day trades. Now, that's kind of silly on its face, right? I mean, come on. How do you know what teams are talking and what the compensation will be? But nevertheless, I thought, let's take a look and see if the Jaguars are involved in this at all. And they were involved so much that they're part of 4 of these possible scenarios. So I thought I would throw to you as to which, if any of these, would be appealing to you as general manager of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Okay? We'll start with this one. The Patriots looking to move up, looking maybe for a quarterback, right? That would be a Jordan Love or even seeking to go higher and springboarding from the 9th pick. Look to acquire the 9th pick from the Jaguars. They offer up number 23. So you got to drop 14 spots. In compensation, you get the 87th overall pick, which would be a third rounder, and a 2021 second round pick. Are you willing, first of all, is that within the realm of possibility for you as a GM that you'd be willing to drop 14 spots for a third rounder this year and a second rounder next year? Seems light. to me.
It does. Like, it doesn't – yeah, to drop out of any chance to get one of the premier players in the
draft. Seems like you get a next year's first.
Yeah, and it's not like you're getting an opportunity to get one of those premier players on the back end.
No, you're going to 23,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so that's probably
I'm thinking 23 in your first next year. Then we got three firsts next year. I could probably do that.
With the Pats, I mean, at best, you're probably still even with all the chaos.
So let's say even if it's a 32nd pick, it's still a first rounder. Yeah. And then potentially, if you're in that Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes, I mean, you're still getting a first rounder this year in that one, right? You're getting the 23rd pick. Might get a really good player there. All right, so that's number one. You're kind of lukewarm on that one, it sounds like. Okay. This one, that was rated the number two scenario, by the way. I guess probably Patriots moving up, and they just think the Jags are the most likely spot. The number six scenario they had in there was the Jaguars trading up themselves with a move to go get Tua. Now, this could be somebody else for you if you think they would be willing to move up to make a move on a defensive player or something like that. So they give up the number three pick and the number 109 overall. What is that, a fourth-round selection, right? Earlier, first fourth-round selection, I think. So they're I'm sorry, they acquire number three and number 109. So they get the third pick and a fourth-rounder. In exchange, they have to give the Lions the 9 and the 20. What do you think?
For quarterback is the only one that would make any kind of sense for.
If you're going for the quarterback.
If it's your quarterback, okay.
Right, if that's your problem. Like
if it costs you your other first-round pick this year to go get it, okay.
And you get a fourth-rounder back in the deal. A pretty high, a relatively high fourth-round pick back in the deal. That doesn't seem absurd. Now, I don't want them to do this, right? But if they were going to make that move, the compensation doesn't seem like it's out of bounds there to give that up. All right, so we move on to the next scenario. The Packers looking to move up from 30 to get to 20. Not sure what they're hunting for here. I don't have it right in front of me. But the Packers would give you the 30th pick, the 62nd pick, and a fourth rounder next year in exchange for 20 and 73. So you drop back 10, you'd move up 11, and then you'd move up basically from the early third to the late second with that pick, and then you get a fourth round pick as compensation. What say you on that?
It'd be easier to know with what was available to me at 20. And
that'd be a hot pile of no from me. I'm sorry. I mean, it's not enough. If you're moving up 10 in the first round and you're getting 11 and a fourth round pick a year from now, to me, you're right. Obviously, if you're sitting there and you're like, wow, there's a glut of guys we like here at 20, or maybe we had 17 guys graded out, you know, really highly, and they're all off the board. And now we might as well move back because we feel like the value is flat. But this doesn't seem like enough compensation coming
their
way.
Maybe a third next year would change it for me.
Maybe. But, like, those 11 picks from the early third to the late second are not nearly worth the 10 picks in the first round.
Sure.
I just don't think the fourth rounder and having to wait a year is enough compensation. You know, fourth rounder is good. You might get a starter out of it, but to wait a year, that one so far is the least attractive to me. Now, finally, the Jaguars, in this hypothetical scenario, would trade down with the Cowboys. Cowboys looking to move up to number 9. They would drop to 17, and in exchange, they get the 52nd overall pick. Out of all of them, that seems like the best deal, doesn't it? Get a first and a second rounder for the Cowboys for your first, your number 9, drop down to 17. Maybe Kinlaw falls to you, something like that in that scenario. Maybe you go corner that you like
at
17. What do you think? 52nd pick's a pretty good pick now.
Yeah, it's not a bad pick.
You're probably picking a starter there. What if Brown's off the board?
Well, if Brown's off the board, like it's – if there are guys that you feel like are – because quarterback gets pushed up and it may be positions that – you don't necessarily want to address. Maybe it is Simmons, something like that, which, again, I'd be okay with Simmons still being in play for the Jags at this point at 9. But if any of those premier guys, and like a Derrick Brown, is still available to me at 9, I'd rather just take that guy than have an extra second-round pick wait to see what happens at 17.
This scenario that I'm looking at, the rationale behind it, they said this is a scenario where if Okuda were to slide, well, I'd just as soon take Okuda
if
he's clearly the best corner on the board rather than get something significantly less than that, even if you're getting the extra pick. Yeah. But that would be the idea of the Cowboys moving up to replace Byron Jones, if that were the scenario. Uh-huh. So this one, the Packers would be moving up to get Kenneth Murray in this scenario, okay, to grab a linebacker. The Jaguars moving up to get Tua, as we mentioned, and the Patriots would be moving up to get a quarterback. Anyway, look, it's all hypothetical stuff.
Yeah.
I thought I'd throw those out there. Out of all those, I definitely would rather trade back, I think, than trade up. But I don't want to trade back too far either. You know what I mean? Like, I'm with you. I won't. Like, if I could trade back, if they may like Kinlaw better and even take him over Derrick Brown, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if I could move back to 12 or 14 and get Kinlaw in that spot and add something to it, I'd be okay with that. You know, because you're still keeping your 20th overall pick.
Sure.
You're addressing defensive tackle. Anyway, just a fun piece there. And look, it's more fun to win in the regular season. But since we haven't, at least we do have 12 draft picks to at least do the mental gymnastics with.
Yes, they do.
To see what could get done. So maybe they're a hot selection at that spot. And like you, Derek Brown sitting there at 9, I'll gladly hand the card in with his name on, or Okuda, for that matter. But there are scenarios where they're both off the board. Maybe they don't want to go offensive lineman, or maybe they like some of the linemen that they think they can get at 20 or even 42. And, you know, they're just outside what they feel is a premier tier of players. Or maybe, you know what, maybe they do want to go wide receiver and feel like, you know what, if we drop back 2, 3, 4, 5 spots, we can grab one of the top guys in there, help out Minshew, help out this offense.
Yeah.
And still add to our draft capital stockpile. You know, you can only use so many rookie picks. You're not going to have 12 or 14 rookies make the team, very likely. So at some point, they're going to have to package some of these picks, you would think, to move around, either to defer them to 2021 to trade them off for future picks, or to package them to move up this year, something that they've done outside of round one pretty frequently in the Dave Caldwell as general manager era. All right, we'll come back. This date in football and the checkup drive around the NFL, see what's going on in the National Football League, at least news-wise around the National Football League. Frank Frangio will stop by in hour number two, and we'll ask him how would he feel about the Jags making kind of an all-in move on Gardner Minshew. It's our question of the day. By selecting a wide receiver with the 9th overall pick in the upcoming NFL draft, give us your feedback on social media this morning. Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
All right!
Now, this date in football history.
All right, a couple of odds and ends for this date in football history. Start with birthdays. Sterling Sharp, born on this date 55 years ago. If you didn't watch Sterling Sharp play, you probably don't realize how good he was. May have been the better of the Sharp brothers. Shannon, of course, is in the Hall of Fame. Sterling Sharp was the 8th overall pick in the 1989 NFL draft by Green Bay. 5-time Pro Bowler, 3-time first-team All-Pro. 5 times in 7 years, he went over 1,100 yards. Okay, he led the league in yardage once. He led the league in reception several times. He led the league in receiving touchdowns twice, including 18 in his final season, which came at the age of 29 and had to retire because of a neck injury. Has he, you know, had he played out 5 more years, guy's a Hall of Famer. So Sterling Sharp, 55 years young today. Friend of the program, Donnie Edwards, born on this date in 1947, joined us during Super Bowl week on Radio Row down in South Florida. Spent 13 seasons in the league, primarily with the Chiefs and Chargers. Only made the Pro Bowl one time, despite an impressive final tally of 28 interceptions and 23.5 sacks. Not many pull the 20-20 double at the linebacker position. And Jack Kent Cook, former Redskins owner, passed away on this date in 1997. Cook, at various times in his entrepreneurial business career, was the owner of the Washington Redskins in the NFL, the LA Lakers in the NBA, the LA Kings in the NHL, the Los Angeles Wolves in the United Soccer League, the Toronto Maple Leafs in the International League. He also developed the Forum in Englewood, California, and FedEx Field near Landover, Maryland. That's a pretty good legacy to leave behind for Jack Kent Cook. Again, passed away in 1997 on this date at the age of 84. And that's what we have for you on this date in football history.
Now, the drive around the NFL on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
been delayed with the league still trying to work out how a virtual offseason is going to work. Teams can send players iPads or tablets for players to use and study on their own time. Teams with new head coaches would have been allowed to start their offseason today, but it has been delayed at least a week while they try to work out details of all that other stuff going on with the coronavirus pandemic. Former New Orleans Saints kicker Tom Dempsey passed away over the weekend at the age of 73 due to complications from the coronavirus. Dempsey held the NFL record with a 63-yard field goal made in 1970, despite being born with no toes on his kicking foot. Dempsey held the record until 2013 when Matt Prater made a 64-yard field goal. Hall of Famer Bobby Mitchell passed away yesterday at the age of 84. Mitchell spent the first four seasons of his career with Cleveland, sharing the backfield with Jim Brown before being traded to Washington. In 1962, Mitchell, along with Leroy Jackson and John Nisby, all joined Washington and became the first African Americans to play for the franchise, and then owner George Preston Marshall, the last NFL team to integrate. Marshall had said previously that the team's fans preferred watching white players and that they would reject the team if they had black players. Mitchell was an all-pro in his first season in Washington and has since shared that he has had people tell him that newspaper men were not allowed to write features on him in town or vote for him as an all-pro. He was a Pro Bowler his first three seasons in Washington, leading the league and receiving his first 2 years with the team. Mitchell spent 35 years with the organization after retiring, rising up to the level of assistant general manager.
Yeah, George Preston Marshall, from what I have gathered over the years of doing these football history blurbs and stuff, was like the biggest racist in NFL history.
Yeah.
He really was. I mean, he was not that he was the only one.
Certainly not. Yeah.
He seemed to be the most strident of those. So
updating something that we talked about early on in the show, the golf world trying to get back on its feet following the pandemic. The RNA has come out and officially announced that they have canceled the British Open for this year. They are on track, obviously, to play next year at Royal St. George. The U.S. Open, previously scheduled for June 15th to 21st at Wingfoot, will be played at Wingfoot in September. The dates announced for that, September 14th through the 20th. The PGA of America announcing today that the PGA Championship, now scheduled to take place in August, will remain in San Francisco at TPC Harding Park. It was originally scheduled for May, but they pushed that back to September. Augusta and the Masters has announced November 9th through the 15th, and the Ryder Cup will go on as scheduled. At least that is the way that they expect it to work for now, September 22nd through the 27th.
Yeah, by the way, those are all hopes.
Yes.
Not, I mean,
this is just the tour announcing what they're planning.
Right, this is what the plan is, and that's fine to have a plan.
Yep.
Right, but nobody can know what the conditions are going to be. Maybe it'll, you know, maybe they could have opened things up a lot sooner, or maybe they won't be able to open them up at all.
Sure.
This year. Do not know at this point in time, like none of us at the moment anyway. Here is I love the mocks and I hate the mocks, but here's a 7-round mock from our man Ryan Wilson. Ryan Wilson's probably, along with Pete, I mean, Pete Prisco is kind of like the NFL guy at CBS Sports. Ryan Wilson's probably the main pure draft guy. Would that be fair to say?
Mm-hmm.
Something along those lines. You know,
yeah.
He's certainly one of the more top guys. Been there for a while now. Some of the other ones have come and gone, moved on to different outlets, but Ryan Wilson continues to play his trade for CBS. So he did a 7-round mock that came out today. And I'll just go through the Jaguar picks very quickly here, Tony, and you give me your impression of the overall draft, okay? Start with the 9th pick. Jaguar select Justin Herbert, quarterback out of Oregon. Okay, so right out of the gates, controversy. The Jags traded Nick Foles to the Bears. It's unclear if Gardner Minshew is the long-term answer. If Herbert falls here, Jacksonville could pass on an offensive lineman to get a franchise quarterback. So he's thinking O-line otherwise. All right,
okay.
So goes to the next selection, A.J. Terrell. Terrell or Terrell?
I'm not sure.
I'm going to go with Terrell. A.J. Terrell out of Clemson.
I like Terrell.
Is it Terrell, do you think? It's Terrell Owens, right? But it's Terrell Suggs.
Yes.
Right? So I don't know how AJ prefers it, but says he won't replace Jalen Ramsey all by himself, but he's a good starter. He reminds us of former Clemson teammate Trayvon Mullen, the Raiders' second rounder a year ago. And let's get him in the second round, could we? All right, so we got quarterback and corner. Neville Gallimore, the Oklahoma defensive tackle, then comes off the board of the Jags with the second-round pick. Gallimore put up impressive numbers at the combine, and he gives Jacksonville a much-needed big body in the middle of the defense, 6'2", 304. Moving on, Kyle Duggar out of Lenoir Rhyne. That's the guy. I told you I was listening to a mock draft this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who claims he's an actual Jaguar fan. Doesn't know how to pronounce Unique Ngakoue's name correctly, but nevertheless says he's a Jaguar fan. Has him taking Kyle Duggar in the first round. He had him trading down multiple times beyond the 20th pick. So they had like 2 and 26, mm-hmm. or 20 and 26 were the first two picks they had. And at 20, he took Kyle Duggar, the safety out of Lenoir Rhyne. A lot of people like him as a prospect. Man, bring back Gene Smith if we draft a safety out of Lenoir Rhyne with the 20th overall pick in the draft with all uh-huh. the other needs that this team has. But he says Duggar is a physical freak who blew the doors off the Senior Bowl in the combine. He'll add some much-needed depth in Jacksonville's secondary. That's what we need to spend. Third round, okay. Right?
Yeah.
20th overall pick, I don't need some much-needed depth in the secondary. I need some much-needed starter somewhere.
Yes.
All right, so we move on past that. Tyler Johnson in the fourth round, a wide receiver out of Minnesota. Johnson put up eye-popping numbers during his career, says Wilson, but he backed out of the Shrine Bowl, didn't run at the combine, so it's unclear if he's fast enough to regularly beat NFL cornerbacks, so that's good. Let's take a chance on that. John Hightower, wide receiver out of Boise State in the fourth round as well. A deep threat who also returns kicks. Hightower will need to add some weight in the NFL. He's 6'2", 189. That's skinny. Another fourth-rounder, Alex Taylor, offensive lineman, 6'8", 308. Alex Taylor, developmental project with tons of upside, who will need time to learn the position. Who does he play for? Because he is not listed as having a college. Alex Taylor. Look up Alex Taylor draft prospect, will you? And tell me why. Is he a JUCO guy? Why is he not a listed with a college here? It's listed him as NFL draft as his college, which is weird. Maybe it's just a mistake. Moving past that, DJ Wonnum, an edge rusher, 6'5", 258 out of South Carolina in the fifth round. Shaq Quarterman, Miami linebacker, 6'1", 234, as Jacksonville continues to overhaul its defense. And Shaq Quarterman in the fifth round wouldn't bother me in the least. Josiah DeGuerra, a tight end H-back who had a solid Senior Bowl. They go in the sixth round along with Michael Onwenu, another offensive lineman, 6'3", 344. That sounds like a guard to me out of Michigan, a mountain of a man. They describe him as who moves surprisingly well for his size. And then Chauncey Rivers, another edge rusher out of Mississippi State in round number 7. What do you find on Alex Taylor?
South Carolina State.
Okay. I don't know. So that small school, that's obviously that in the formatting, they got that wrong. And it's just, I mean, so much is going to depend, honestly, on how we judge it. Most of us on how we judge this, mm-hmm. on how they do with 9, 20, and maybe 42.
Sure.
Right? And then we'll be looking at the positions they address a little bit later. And we'll have some of our favorites. Yeah. Like if Cam Akers goes in the third round, everyone can relate to who Cam Akers is. Or if they get LaMichael Perine in the fifth round or sixth round or whatever.
And those three picks in that particular mock did not excite me.
No, not really. Now, that doesn't mean that's not the whole point of the draft is to excite you. Herbert, maybe he turns out to be a top five quarterback. I don't suspect that he will, but, you've got to make a bold move every now and again,
I don't blame you for picking him if you believe that he will.
If you believe it, but then he better be that.
Yep.
And is he going to play this year? I mean, that's the thing, Really? Are you going to, you're set up right now just to ride it with Minshew, and I get it. If you really feel like this guy is a future stud, how do you pass that up at that position, right? So
absolutely.
You're going to have that confidence level, though. I don't want any wishy-washy. I don't want, we think he can develop. No, this is the guy that we think. Otherwise, what are you doing? And fine, if that's your commitment, I'm not going to buy it if it's Herbert, but it doesn't mean I'll be right. Like, if it's Tua, I can see it because I've seen a lot more of Tua, and I've seen the progression to the point where, had he not gotten hurt this year, maybe he was going to be the number one overall pick.
Sure.
And if somehow you end up with him and say he's the future of the franchise, we shall see. All right, draft in 2.5 weeks. Frank Frangie coming up on the other side. We'll talk to him about all the latest going on with the Jacksonville Jaguars. If you want to get in, 641-1010 on the phone lines or the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. Question of the day is, how would you feel about the Jags going one route to go all in on Gardner Minshew and selecting a wide receiver? with the ninth pick in the draft. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, ET, Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now the voice of the Jaguars, Frank Frangie, joins Jaguars Today.
Fisco and Blaze are coming. Burner drops the throw, fires to the right side. The ball is caught. Touchdown, Chris Conley. Touchdown, Jacksonville. And the Jags have taken the lead with 31 seconds to play.
Welcome in the voice of the Jags, Mr. Frank Frangie. Hello, Frank. How are you?
How's everybody? We're holding up okay, all things considered. Doing fine and healthy and safe and at home most of the time. All's good.
Yeah. 6 feet, by the way, is like closer than I usually want you to me. But I'll survive, man. We'll be okay around these parts. Hope you had a good weekend and, you know, just adjusting to a new paradigm, at least for the short term.
Yeah, the second week didn't seem nearly as long as the first week. I don't know if you guys felt that way or not. It almost seemed, if it's not completely feeling normal, it's feeling more normal than it did when we started. My wife's totally sick of me, and I don't blame her. I'm kind of sick of me, too. But I asked her, I said, are you tired of me? She said, pretty much. I don't have an answer. I don't have a solution to that.
Because
we both live there.
Right.
And we both own the house. So I don't know. But everything's good. We're doing fine.
Good. All right. Well, today, among topics we're discussing for the Jags, you know, there are so many opinions out there, and that's fine. You know, 2.5 weeks out, you're going to get mock drafts that take some chances and do some different things. But I saw one at CBS Sports this weekend that had the Jags selecting Jerry Jeudy with the 9th overall pick. And whether you're a Jerry Jeudy or a CeeDee Lamb or a Henry Ruggs guy, most people feel that that trio of players is probably going to be off the board somewhere between maybe 11 and 15, somewhere in that range. So it's not a reach value-wise necessarily. How would you feel if the Jags said, you know what, we're going to give Gardner every tool we can give him to really find out if he's the guy, and we feel, you know, obviously you're not going to reach if the grade is not there, but if the grade is there, how would you feel about a Jerry Jeudy at 9?
You know, I heard you talk about it earlier, Mike. Here's why I'd be totally okay with it. Because I think of the only area I'm concerned about that they don't get addressed before they're gone is corner. I don't think the corner group is as deep. Receivers deep. I think offensive line is deep if they choose to do it. I think defensive line is deep enough. The only area that I concern myself with not being deep enough that if you miss the first three or four guys at corner, then it's a drop-off is corner. But, no, I would be okay. If they take Derrick Brown or Kinlaw and then come back with receiver, I'm fine. If they take, to your point, receiver and come back with Kinlaw, C.J. Henderson, whoever, I'm fine. When you have a bunch of picks and you have a bunch of needs, long as the volume of possibilities doesn't run out, I think you're okay. Yeah, you got me thinking. I never thought about it till you guys were talking about it today. Yeah, it's kind of exciting because I watch those Alabama guys a lot. I watch a lot of SEC. I'm guessing they're not going to have CeeDee Lamb. I think he's going to get bumped. At 9, though, who's there? Is Jeudy there at 9?
Probably. Will he be available at 9? Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah. I would think Jeudy.
I think if they want a wide receiver, they'll have their pick of anyone.
Even Lamb?
I think Lamb was a stronger possibility to Arizona because of the connection with Kyler Murray prior to the deal for DeAndre Hopkins.
I think Jeudy and Ruggs are there at 9 and not at 20. Lamb.
Let's say they're all there.
All three are there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could be persuaded.
Would you be willing to make a move, and what would you be willing to give up to go make sure you can get Okuda?
I wouldn't do it.
Okay.
I think there's too much volume, and I do worry about corner. I'm contradicting myself, Tony, because I just said I worry about corner a little. But I think there's too much you need. You don't have many years like this year and next year where you're going to have this kind of this volume of picks, man.
Hopefully never again.
Hopefully never. But since you have that volume of picks, I wouldn't move. I've got 12 now. If something happens with Ngakoue, I may have more. I'm not going anywhere. I'm getting volume. I think.
Don't you think though? With 12, do you think they're going to make 12 draft picks?
You know, I do. Really? Maybe it's 10 or 11. But do I think they're going to turn this into 7 or 8 and go way up a bunch? I don't. I
don't think necessarily 7 or 8. But I do. I mean, we've seen many times when they get down to that, they've shown a willingness after day one, assess the board overnight and make an aggressive
go
move to get
Juwan spots.
Taylor,
yeah.
get
yeah.
Miles Jack, whomever.
I could see it, but I can tell you, we had the word even in Indy when they were sitting on 9 picks that there was a chance they were going to try and get to 12 to 14. There was a chance that the inside was that they may try to get to 12 to 14 picks. That was the number that was kind of being floated a little bit. So I think they're going to try and pick a lot of guys. I think there's some – again, this is a new team. This is a – if Ngakoue's gone, then it's new. I know Linder's still there and Miles Jack is still there and Avery's there and Lambeau got there in 17. But other than a handful of guys, it's a new – Ngakoue to me signifies it's all new now, at least for me.
What, if anything, would surprise you at number nine?
Receiver would surprise me. It wouldn't be a bad
me too,
surprise.
Right, right. It's, I mean, it's within the realm of possibility, but not the most likely.
Receiver would surprise me. Offense or defensive line wouldn't. Corner wouldn't, but it would have to be. I mean, if you don't go get a coot, I don't know who's there at night.
Right. I don't feel great. Like C.J. Henderson, the knock. And you tell me, Frank, you're a much closer observer of the Gators. The knock, one of the knocks I hear about him is not a great tackler, right? And you know, sometimes gets lost a little bit, gets his back turned to the play. But the tackling thing worries me. I heard Daniel Jeremiah did a podcast where he went out and he got notes from a time I guess he had spent with Bill Belichick, when Belichick kind of went through what he looks for when you're assessing positions. And he said the number one thing he looks for in defensive backs is the ability to tackle guys, which I did think was interesting.
Yeah.
But how do you feel about Henderson as a prospect overall?
I've said this countless times on my show. I think C.J. Henderson is good, not great. Now, he's really fast. And the NFL game is different than the college game. So I'm not smart enough to tell, you know, the guy that was a good college. I can see a lot of guys that were really good college players that won't be as good in the NFL. But there are some guys who are better in the NFL than they were in college. And I'm not, I don't know that I'm smart enough to see that. But I didn't think he was a great player at Florida. And I've said that consistently. I thought he was really, he's really fast. And so if you're going to put him on an island, the game's a little different. But I like him, Mike. I don't love him as a prospect. I never have. You talk about Gator guys. I love Van Jefferson as a prospect. I think Van Jefferson is going to be such a good NFL player. Wherever he's taken, he's faster.
Might be able to get him in the fourth round.
And he plays really fast. Now with the foot, who knows, right?
Yeah.
But I think he's a really good player, underappreciated by NFL. But C.J. Henderson, I'm going long to your question.
That's fine.
I think he's a good player. I never thought he was a great player.
What do you think about Bryan Edwards, South Carolina Gamecocks?
I like him. He's physical. He's going to win. He's going to win 50-50 battles. He's better on Saturday than he was on Wednesday and Thursday, and I like guys like that. He's a gamer. I like him a lot. He's not. I think Jefferson plays faster, but he's more physical.
There's a school of thought, Tony, that he would have been like a borderline first, second rounder had he not been hurt and been able to show off that the fact that he's healthy now and with the way things are. His stock is going to fall. He could be a massive value for
somebody.
He's
a good player. Tony, I don't know that he'll separate.
Right.
I think Jefferson will separate. He's got two or three gears, even though he may not run the fastest 40. But I like Edwards a lot.
Herbert, love to all sitting there for you at nine, and you are thinking quarterback. Which way would you go?
Tua. If I could have any. But I hope they're not thinking quarterback.
Okay.
Because to me, I've said it. You've heard me, Tony. No matter how much he costs, I don't think you move on from Foles unless you're really committed to Minshew. And I think they're really committed to Minshew, and I think there's too many other ways to build the team. Herbert scares me. I know he's a measurables guy. He's a guy that you knew was going to be good in February, March, and April, but I'm not sure he was as good in October, November. For me, I just haven't seen enough. I'd be guessing. I think if Tua's healthy, he's good. I don't know if he's great, but he's a pretty good player. Of the three, Tua.
I think for me – personally, I am happy with the way they've approached this offseason. Like, I don't think it's like an all-out strip it down to the studs, as some will suggest. I think that what they've done is try to be responsible and look at, you know, Calais, could he give us a year of production? Yeah, he could. Is it worth $15 million? Probably not. And then we lose him potentially for nothing, right? Even you could talk about compensatory picks, but there's no guarantee you're going to get any because the Jags are so far into the cap next year, they're going to be signing guys, which would offset any compensatory picks you would have gotten that. So I think what Caldwell has done in a circumstance, Frank, where the pressure's been put on to perform in the short term, I think he's had the best long-term interest. Now, that doesn't mean every move will turn out to be the right one,
right?
But I'm at least appreciative of the fact that this team isn't saying, you know what, screw it. We have to try to win nine games in 2020, and that is the only thing we're focusing on.
That's
right
a good
now.
Point. I agree with you. It doesn't have to be one or the other. You can go get guys who help you right now who are going to be around for a while, and I think they've done that. I think Gunner's the most underrated one. I like Gunner a lot. I've told you guys before I focused on Schobert, Woods, and Gunter. Those are the three guys I think helped them, given where their weaknesses were, helped them immediately. But that's a good take. they got guys that can help them win now, but they didn't sacrifice tomorrow. I agree with that. I think that's well said. And I like what they've done too. I still think there's holes, but you got 12 picks.
How do you think it turns out with Jan?
I thought all along he'd be here. I thought all along he'd be here playing for the franchise tag, perhaps, Tony. But I heard Boselli say the other day when he was on with JP at Jaguars, the first they talked all about what Tony had gone through, which was a horrible thing, and I'm glad he's doing well.
Yeah.
He's my buddy. But at the end, JP said, one football question, what do you think? And he says, I think he'll be traded right before the draft. That swayed me a little because I think Tony probably is way more connected than I am. I now feel like they'll probably trade him. And I don't love that, but I'm let me be clear, that's a wild guess. I have no idea.
Do you think they'll take any package that doesn't include a first round pick?
I would not.
I don't think they will either.
I don't either. And I think here's the key, and that you guys talk about every day, is someone going to give up a first round pick and agree to the $22 million?
They did with Frank Clark. Yeah, Kansas City did.
They'd have to do both.
That point, I don't care what they agree to, as long as they give us the draft capital.
At this point, you get a third first-round pick and four picks in the 42, I'm probably okay with it now. Tony, to your question, I now find myself thinking he's not going to be on the team, and I have felt the other way the whole time until
I just don't know if I have a sense that there's a market for him like you're talking about. Is a team – like, I don't think the Jags are going to say, well, we'll take best offer, right? Like, it's come down to this, the best offer is a third and a fifth. I don't think they'll take it. I think they'll put him to the test and make him play it out on the franchise tag.
And the other part of that too, Mike, is the whole Clowney thing, the reports coming out that Clowney wanted 20-plus, now it'll take 17, mm-hmm. That doesn't happen very often. When that happens, when all of a sudden you hear reports, and most of these reports are correct. I mean, by the time Rappaport or Schefter goes with something, the agent told him, so these these reports are pretty accurate these days. When you suddenly hear a guy like Clowney suddenly is willing to take way less than he was reported to want, a month ago? That's stunning, so I'm not sure the market's there either. We'll see. I want him on the team. He's a good player, and I think no matter how angry he is, I think when it's time to show up and play, he'll show up and play. But if I had to guess right now, I'd guess a trade.
All right, Frank Frangie, ladies and gentlemen, voice of the Jaguars. You'll hear him on the Frangie Show with Hayes Carline, Lauren Brooks, and Gibby this afternoon at 3
o'clock.
Okay,
boys, thank you.
Thank you, buddy. There he goes, Frank Frangie, out the door. We'll come back, Tony, and look what people say about this team, potentially the Jaguars going wide receiver at number 9. Just a hypothetical. Mm-hmm. It'd be one way to make an expression that you're going all in on Gardner Minshew. You hear that. Hey, you got your young quarterback now. What weapons are you going to give him? Kyler Murray, they drafted a number 1 overall last year. Gardner Minshew outplayed him, right? And they went out and got him DeAndre Hopkins. What will the Jaguars do in that vein, if anything, at least high in the draft? We'll discuss the possibility next. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and E.T. Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All Jags, all NFL. Jaguars today on 1010XL.
All right, we're just laughing at E. reenacting some Tiger King for us there on the break. Spectacular. I probably will rewatch. Why not? What else am I going to do with myself? Watch Monday Night Football? Well, he wouldn't be doing that anyway this time of year. But, man, I remember this old man. You ever heard of Monday Night Baseball, E? Yeah, back in the day, like when I was a kid, like early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, you know, Monday Night Baseball. Because you have Saturday afternoon game of the week, right? And right around, the early 80s, I guess, is when TBS started doing Braves games. Like, is that right? 80?
It was in the 80s.
Was in the 80s? Yeah. Okay. Very early 80s, they started doing the Braves games. But if you didn't have that, if you just had like regular TV, you got your Saturday game of the week on NBC. But then in the off season, the non-football season, like at certain parts of the calendar, ABC would air a Monday Night Baseball game. It was a big deal, Monday Night Baseball. And now you can get every game, anything you want with the MLB package. But Monday Night Baseball was the goods. Back in the day, we take Monday night just about anything right now. Monday night shuffleboard, Monday night whatever.
I even take Monday Night Raw.
Monday Night Raw, yeah. As long as it doesn't get splashed all over, the main sports sites.
I mean, this is not a joke. On the break, I was looking at the Korean Baseball League to see if I could pick a team to follow.
Could you?
Like,
were you?
And like I
fantasy? Should we go?
No,
all
it
in
wasn't
on...
even like fantasy. It was like they're going to show the games on YouTube, so they'll be accessible in the States. And I was like, all right, it'll be what I got as far as live sports.
I'd rather randomly go back and watch some old game that I've never seen.
They've got those on, too, right now.
Yeah, I know. That's what
like I watched parts of a couple All-Star games.
I can't
like
do
home run
the
derbies
Korean
yesterday.
Baseball League. That's me.
Yeah.
If you can, hey, more power to you. Whatever it takes to get through these times right now. Here's your 10-10 take brought to you by Hatfield and Hatfield Attorneys at Law. I don't want wide receiver at night. Look, if they take Judy or Lamb or Ruggs or whomever in the first round at any point, and if they turn up to be a star, I'll be okay with it, right? Because that's what I want.
Right.
I want stars. I want great impact performers. But I think the greatest need right now, and I disagree with Frank, I do think the D-line talent falls off much more significantly than the wide receiver talent does in this draft, you know, particularly at the very tip-top end. Now, look, you can argue there's only a couple, three, Jerry Judy, CeeDee Lamb, Henry Ruggs-level guys, but there are a lot of other wide receivers that can play a lot of years in the National Football League. My first inclination is I wouldn't be happy if they go wide receiver at nine because of the amount of needs that they have. Now, maybe it's a scenario where they do trade Unique Ngakoue, and maybe all of a sudden they have an extra first-round pick, and they can address some of these other things, but then you're just opening up pass rush as another thing as well. So, for me, 10-10 take, no wide receiver at nine, please.
10-10 take.
What about you, Tony Smith?
I mean, I'd prefer going another direction.
That's
especially
what I'm saying,
if
right?
Defensive line was available.
I'm not
going
to freak out and break things
right.
If they take a wide receiver.
If they take him, I'll be like, okay, they think it's going to be one of those guys.
Well, don't be cute and be the team that says, I'm going to take Henry Ruggs over Jerry Judy and CeeDee Lamb. And look, if you do, you better damn sure
yeah,
be right.
Be right.
You better be right in a big way. He better be the next Tyreek Hill if you're going that route. But so I would not prefer that. Let's put it that way.
Sure.
So we asked today, how would you feel about the Jags going all in on Gardner Minshew by drafting him a wide receiver with the ninth overall pick? I thought the variety of responses was pretty interesting, right? From here's Mike, a kayak fish, saying, no way, offensive and defensive lines in the first round. Okay. The very next one, Bill says, sure, why not? Chark, Westbrook, or Connolly, Eifert, another wide receiver one. Look out. Pick the right guy. Yeah, I'm with you. Pick the right guy. Scott says, I'm absolutely okay with wide receiver at nine. We need to have another number one wide receiver to give opposing D's something other than Chark to think about. I don't think Westbrook or Connolly are big enough threats. Let's see. Then we got Cobalt Blue says, not at nine. You can still be all in by giving him support in the trenches or on both sides of the ball. DC gets his wide receivers in round two. Okay. Not sold on him, but if you go saying this is CG saying he's not sold on Minshew. But if you go all in, I say get a wide receiver no later than the second round, offensive line in the first. Mary says stack the offensive line first and foremost, then go for best available wide receiver. Professor Floyd says let's go. Wouldn't be mad at all. I do think there's a pretty even split. I do think the thing about wide receiver is like you draft an offensive lineman, whether it's any of them, right? Even if it's Mekhi Becton, who will stand out because of his sheer size. It's tough. What are you looking at when you're judging how well he played? Or you know, you can count his penalties. That's a negative stat. You can count sacks allowed. That's not very sexy in the midst of, if you draft a guy and you play him at guard for a season before moving him to left tackle, let's say, and, oh, this week he didn't give up a sack. All right. You know, but if you draft a wide receiver and he has seven catches for 114 yards and a touchdown, you can immediately measure the impact that guy's had on your
sure.
football team. I'm not saying that that's the reason to draft, but I just think people react to that.
It's easier to see.
Yes. Like Judy, we've seen him put up big numbers. He's been talked about as a top-of-the-draft kind of talent for a while and be on board with that kind
yeah,
of thing.
Absolutely. I mean, it makes sense from that kind of perspective. And look, as I said on one of the breaks this morning, it's you – needing a guy at a position more, like, say, defensive line or offensive line for the Jags, doesn't mean that they're a better player than the wide receiver that would be available to you.
That's correct.
And if you're drafting at nine, I don't think receiver is a small enough need compared to the others that if you look at it and say, this guy's just a better player, we think this guy is the best player that is available to us, I don't know how you move past that.
Now, Right now, I'm a Derrick Brown guy.
It's I am too.
Quite possible the Jags, and so is he. He's getting mad. He feels like he's copyrighted. I'm a Derrick Brown guy, but he hasn't. But he feels like it. Make a bumper stickery. But it's quite possible there are teams that look at Derrick Brown, like Tom McManus said, you know, I watched him at the combine. I thought he was a little stiff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the question. Is he athletic enough? Right? He dominated in college. Some guys dominate in college, can't translate it to the pros. Daniel Jeremiah, we went through his top 50 rankings a little bit, touched on them on Friday's show. He's got Brown ranked fourth overall and Okuda fifth. So clearly, those are guys, I mean, I've kind of coveted Okuda. I don't think it's likely that he's available to them. But he ranks CeeDee Lamb ninth overall, ranks Judy 11th, and Henry Ruggs 12th. So it's not by any stretch to say it's crazy that some team could have a couple of those guys ranked among the top 10 players on the board. And sure, when you're picking at nine, if you're one of those teams, very possible that you can look at it and say that this is the best talent available. And again, you've got to look ahead in the draft now. Next year, DeeDee Westbrook's not under contract, nor is Chris Connolly, nor is Keelan Cole. Chark has 1 year left on his deal after this. Sure, you'd like to extend him, but you know, you'll reach that point. He's got to be 3 years in, but he's got 2 years left, including this one, on his rookie deal. And Marquise Lee's got a couple of years on his deal, and we don't even know if he's going to be on the football team.
Yeah, and it's not that this is the Bible, but just looking at Daniel Jeremiah's list there, he's also got Kinlaw 8.
Yes, he does.
So he still has both of the defensive tackles.
He might still say go defensive tackle
right, ahead of any of those wide receivers, and that's not to say that's the Jaguars' list or any NFL team's list.
He's got one offensive lineman, Mekhi Becton, ranked ahead of the wide receiver trio.
Right.
Actually, he's got Jedrick Wills, in between Lamb and Judy. So.
And it's after months of feeling like their run defense, defensive tackle, that defense up the middle has been the biggest issue to me going into this offseason. Still hasn't been addressed in
significant
it's
enough.
Been not significant enough. Like, you can go to opening day with what they got and you'd be all right. Like, maybe a middle of the pack
team. Like, they spent more there than they have on wide receiver.
Right. Like,
but
maybe at
anything.
Like the top end, they could be a middle of the pack team. And that's if you get the most out of all the guys that they brought in.
I mean, Al Woods is a Band-Aid. He's a 1 year stopgap guy. I think what he is, he's a guy that, well, if you miss out on Derrick Brown, maybe you don't feel Kinlaw is the run stuffer that you're I don't know. You know what? Or maybe both of them are gone. You don't feel like, oh my gosh, we have to get desperate now and start reaching for the next defensive tackle, even if he's nowhere near the 20th best player on the board or the 42nd player on the board.
Right. Like, it's still hard for me to get over the hurdle of, I have thought this was the biggest need for them for so long. They're talking about these guys as being guys that could be top 10 prospects, each of them in this particular draft. They're picking at nine. If one of them were available to me, outside of an Okuda, which would really get me thinking, okay, what do I want to do at that point? I don't know that anybody else would get me to move off defensive tackle.
Well, let's put it this way. I think you'd agree. No signing, whether it be Gunter or Al Woods or Cassius Marsh, has influenced my desire to continue to work on the defensive line.
No.
At no point have I said, okay, well, they've done enough. Now, they've got some stop gaps, and again, they're better positioned than they were at the beginning of free agency. You know, you can argue that versus the beginning of the year, they had Marcel Darius. But for that matter, Marcel Darius is still sitting out there. Might be able to get Marcel Darius for a song at some point in time on a one-year kind of short-term come-in-and-do-it deal. Or maybe they feel like they did that with Al Woods. So let's see how the draft plays. I think that's going to be one of the things, too. You're sitting there, you miss out on Brown. Maybe you don't love Kinlaw, or maybe you miss out on both at nine and you go some other direction. And the way it falls, let's say you go all line. Okay, and then you go corner, and then you go wide receiver in the next round. Then you go Cam. You can't have everything, right?
Nope.
So maybe it falls in a way where you're like, well, we didn't address defensive line till at least the earliest, the fourth round. In that case, let's go back and look at some of these veterans that are sitting out there and circle back to them. I think that's probably what a lot of teams are doing right now. I don't think they're going to give out too many more contracts in the next 2 weeks and wait and see what they land and then adjust accordingly. All right, with that, let's make the shift over to XL Primetime.
Now, the two-minute drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
Craving queso? Get a free kids meal with your order, plus free delivery. Order in the app or online at Moe's.com.
Josie in the house. Hello, Joseph.
Hello, fellas.
How are you?
I'm doing good, man. You guys make it through the weekend safe and sound?
Yeah.
That's good.
Oh, yeah. Pretty much hunkered down at the house this weekend. Might not have been the case had it not rained yesterday morning. But
I was telling some story and with our mutual friend Gary. I'm sitting at the house last night. I said, by the way, I said, Mike went over to say hello to Gary. And my wife.
Yeah, he saw me. Yeah. I saw him out at Publix.
Yeah, and so my wife immediately jumped up. This weekend, Mike was out. And I'm like, no, this is, you know, back in time. So she's policing everything, including you.
Oh, by the way.
Just so you know.
You know, grocery store is where he works. Okay? I went and saw him at Publix. Yeah. And we did the long distance elbow bump kind of thing. So,
He
wanted. He initially saw. He was going to give me a hug because, you know, I'm a hug it out guy. And then we're both like, no fist pound. That elbow.
But I've already told you. Elbow gets you closer than the fist bump.
Well, point
I don't
with the
it.
Elbow, though. Yeah. If you point, it's like virtual. Saying, it's a virtual elbow.
It's that, I see you, boy.
Because everybody tells you, cough into your elbow. And then they're like, rub elbows with people.
None of it makes sense. Half the rules are bumping up against you.
Yes, it was nice to see Gary, though. So what do you have cooking on the program today?
Oh, you know, it's a little fun right now because you're trying to kind of just – I love the fact that we get to look back. And I know we rush through everything so fast. And so anyway, we all know that we're trying to get creative with different things that are going on. But just in honor of the Rona and what's going on, if you had to draft one team to score a touchdown to end the Rona, you know, how would you put the team together? So we'll do it with the Gators. We'll do it with the Noles. But basically, a couple of wide receivers, a couple running backs, throw a tight end in there, throw a quarterback in there. So we'll have some fun with that. And, you know, just trying to look at everything else as far as what's happening. Korea. They're playing. They're at least planning on playing baseball.
Yeah, they got spring training starting tomorrow.
Yeah, so you know, let's hope for some good news and see if it happens.
All right.
Who knows?
Well, you never know. We're just day by day, Joey.
Exactly. Never thought that would be a literal thing, and it is day by day.
Day by day.
You watching an NFL Sunday or Sunday at Augusta, Joe? Yeah.
Ooh. Because they're talking about the Ryder Cup. Augusta, U.S. Open, all that stuff in the fall.
Like, U.S. Open, Ryder Cup in back-to-back weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well,
Augusta.
Hopefully the Jags will, maybe the Jags will play on Saturdays. Because
November NFL football or Augusta.
Augusta. Augusta.
I don't know, man. That's tough.
Yeah, I know.
So that's why you have more than one television.
Yeah.
They're probably going to find out, those people up in Augusta, whatever blooms in November, they will have it in full bloom.
Oh, yeah.
Ready to go.
Right on. Joe, have a good show, man.
All right, fellas.
All right, Dolan with Hacker Matt Hayes and Big Circe. XL Primetime with Joe C. Coming up for the next 3 hours here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Final thought for you, Tony Smith. What you got? Dig deep in that
looking
cranium.
Forward to the epilogue here with Mr. Joe. You know,
Carol Baskin.
Yeah, I need to know. I have questions that weren't answered.
We all need to know.
I hope. Give me another hour. Give me another year of that. I'd be fine with
that. That's probably a good idea. I'd probably need to go back and refresh myself on those 7 delightful hours of content just to get myself properly in the right mental frame of mind.
Yeah.
See Joe and the crew one more time before we sign off. There will be movies. I think they've already cast Kate McKinnon to
play
Carol
Baskin. Oh, you can't not
take
advantage of this.
Oh, no question.
Yeah.
Be fantastic, really. And, I mean, David Spade should play. I mean, he already played Joe Dirt. And Joe Dirt is basically Joe Exotic in many ways.
I mean, it's another level, but
right, it is. But it's in the family for sure.
Yeah.
All right, that's going to do it for us today. Thanks for listening. Thanks for playing along. One day at a time is all we can do, folks. Continue to listen to the medical authorities. They know best on how to handle this situation right now. Let's do our best to keep each other safe as possible, and we'll be back with you again tomorrow, God willing, with Tony Smith and ET. I'm Mike Dempsey signing off for Jaguars Today. We'll catch you tomorrow from 10 to noon here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Joe Jacksonville, let's go to the...